This morning, as you're continuing to give, I just want to jump into our sermon and get going here, but I do want to say this. I don't know if many of you, I'm a little sad this morning, but I'm going to get over it very quickly. The Badgers didn't make it. I really believed they were going to pull it off. I mean, I just thought the way that they were playing, our coach has been doing a great job. Our players have been consistent. They haven't run up the scores. I mean, they have been playing consistent one play after another play after another play. Can I tell you something? Consistency will get you there a lot of times. And just in life, I remember my father telling me this. My father was always very uplifting and cheerful. He would tell me this. He would say, son, if you're going to try to be the best father in the world, you're not going to. He said, you're just not going to be the best father. There's someone that's going to be better than you. There's somebody that's going to do more. You'll look at what they do and you'll say, my God, why didn't I think to do that? He said, there's always going to be someone thinking and taking things to a better level than you are going to think and take them to. Not that you can't glean from it, not that you can't do the same things, not that you can't copy it, but you will not be the best. And he said, and you're going to make mistakes. And he said, and then you're going to feel terrible about it. He said, you're going to get angry and you're going to discipline your child out of anger. And then you're going to sit down and realize that you were a fool to do something. And after he gave me all the speech, he went into great detail. I'm here like, thanks, Dad. I really appreciate this. I feel like having so many kids right now. He told me, he said, but you know what's going to save you? He said, you're going to be consistent. He said, when you get on to them for something, you're going to get on to them every time they do it because you're going to be consistent. When you bless them, you're going to bless them every time in the same way because you're going to be consistent. And you're going to show them the word. When you make a mistake, you're going to be consistent to tell them that you are sorry. You're going to apologize to your children. You're going to constantly give them the word. You're going to constantly put nuggets in their life. You're going to constantly take moments and teach them something from it. And he said, that consistency will make up for all the mistakes you have made. And can I tell you something? I have found that to be true. I have found that consistency has helped me. And in the body of Christ, when you are consistent on the word of God, it will cover the mistakes you make. When you are constantly standing on his word, when you're constantly confessing his word, when you're constantly taking communion at your house, when you're constantly lifting yourself up, a world of mistakes, a flood of problems may hit you, mountains may pop up in your way, but your consistency in God's word, your consistency in viewing things the way God views them will make up for all the mistakes that you have made. God will cover you. You will be victorious. And the end result, you will hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Whew, I feel like I could preach this morning. Ah, hallelujah. I just feel really good. How about y'all? But like I said, I felt bad for the Badgers. What has anybody know? Have they decided what bowl we're going to be in?
No.
Who we're going to be playing? All right. Well, I'll keep an eye on that. Keep me alert when you know those things. But we are going to continue our series called Responding to His Presence. And this morning I've titled this His Instruments. Now, this information you're about to get is not going to be new information for you. A lot of you have already heard this. A lot of you know this information. Let me tell you what I see our church and where we're moving and some of the things that we're going to be doing. I see a church that praises the Lord. I see a church that is expressive in their worship and expressive in their love. I see a church responding to the presence of the Lord. There is a response. I'm going to tell you something. When you are responsive, it will bless those around you. Paul and Silas, when they were in jail, they had the original jailhouse rock. They began to praise the Lord in their time. They began to filter how they saw the situation the way God saw the situation. They were in chains. They were in prison. They were in the worst place they could possibly be. And they lifted up their voice at midnight. Instead of being down and out, instead of always me, instead of trying to write a letter and send a carriage or a pigeon out to all the other disciples, telling them how bad it's been, how many trials they have faced, how much junk has been happening, and then not only in the world, but in the church too. Just look at the problems, Paul. Look at the problems, Silas. Let's look at all these things that are going on. Instead of focusing on the problem, they begin to focus on the answer to the problem, and they lifted up their voices, and they praised the God who created heaven and earth. They knew, they didn't know whether God was going to bring the jail down on top of them and around them and set them free, but they knew they would be victorious in the end. They knew that no weapon formed against them would prosper. Not that they wouldn't have to face the weapon, not that the weapon wouldn't be used and that they would see it in effect, but the weapon would not come to the end result that it was created for. And that was their destruction. They didn't know how God was going to deliver them, but they knew God would deliver them. And that's why in the darkest hour, you can raise up your voices. You can be an instrument of the Lord. And what happened? Everyone in that prison experienced the presence of God. The ones that were guarding the prison, the soldiers, they gave their life to God. Why? Because two people responded. Two people lifted up the name of Jesus. Two people began to praise him and deny the problems. And when I say deny, I'm not saying, oh, they're not there. I'm saying deny that they would work. Deny that the end result would be like this. That is what's going to happen in this place.
Yeah.
We are going to begin to look at the where the world is, and we're not going to have the old mentality. The old mentality sometimes was the end result was right, but maybe the mentality about it was wrong. How about this? This, I grew up with this. The church in the last days will get brighter. Very true. And the darkness will get darker. And it's almost like we're separating ourselves from the darkness. My job is not to separate myself from the darkness. My job is to bring the light to the darkness, to penetrate through the darkness and grab some people on this side and have them experience the light and the light to continue to be spreading. Yes, wickedness will increase in the last days, but the glory of God will burn brighter and consume more people than ever in the history of mankind. His purpose, his kingdom will expand. We're not going out of here losing. We're going out of here winning. We're going out of here bringing people with us. We're not going out of here with a mentality, let the sinners die and go to hell. That was the Pharisees' mentality. And the Pharisees, Jesus himself said, you're filthy snakes. That's not our mentality. We don't have the mentality of the Pharisees. We have the mentality of Jesus. We come not to condemn the world, but to save it. We are instruments of the Lord. We are his instruments. We're going to turn to Isaiah 14. Do you know music has always played a huge part in culture? Not just our culture, but culture in general, around the world. And you know, I've been so blessed. I've thought about my own life and how I should have never been anything. Never should have amounted to anything. Should have stayed in my little rinky-dink podunk town in the backwoods of nowhere where no one knows anything about it. And this was the mentality. You don't leave this place. You don't leave this place. You are raised up and you can't leave it. Because we're just like we are. And nobody else is like we are. And if you get out there, nobody will accept you. Blessed be the name. And you just need to stay here, plant your roots down, grow a family, and be done with life. One day Jesus will come or you will die. Either one will be a great release. And that was the mentality. And then being, most of you know my testimony, being diagnosed with dyslexia. Was never supposed to make it to high school. Never supposed to make it to college. And through God making all things possible that were impossible, man gave me a diagnosis, gave me a mentality of what I was supposed to be and how I was supposed to live. But God's vision was greater than man's. And so I was able to do what was impossible to do because of the grace and mercy of the Lord. Leaning not into my own understanding, but acknowledging Him in all my ways. He is the one that directed my path. It is Him that caused me to triumph. I could take no glory in my own self because I know what should have been. I know what should have been, only by the grace, only by the blood. Amen. And because of that, I look at the places I was able to travel. I should have never traveled. I should have never even left my state, let alone the country. And I got to go to certain places in Africa, Indonesia, South America, Central America, all over Europe. And I got to see culture in these places, and music in these places. And some of my favorite, I mean, I love where music, where, you know, and I also love when people get saved that they didn't have religion to know that they should not cut loose in church. That's right. You know, religion tells you that we've got to be pompous. We have to be, you know, we have to be, you know, like we've been ironed. I had a pair of pants that was starched that you could stand up and it wouldn't fall down. And that is how the church has been. We're not going to move. We're not going to bring anything into it. We're going to honor the Lord. And what they did was suck the life of God out of church. That's why we must respond to His presence. That's why we must worship Him, is because we bring an atmosphere of love like Paul and Silas. We bring an atmosphere that will affect other people. Other people will be set free because you have decided to respond to the presence of the Lord. There are people that may not be in prison in this place, but they are in prison to religion. They are in prison to family and what has run through their family. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's disease. Maybe it's short life. Maybe it's depression. There's so many things that people carry with them that they are enchained and in prison. But when we begin to lift up the name of Jesus, when we begin to express our love, when we begin to express the reason we were created, which was to praise the Lord, there may be people beside you that are not praising God, but the chains that have held them for years will fall off and set them free simply because you obeyed and responded to the presence of God. Hallelujah. Woo. God is good and His mercy endures forever. Look at your neighbor and say, start responding. You need to respond, not just for you. Can I tell you something? There's going to come a level of freedom when you begin to respond that you didn't even expect. And for you, it may be one little hop during praise and worship. Ooh, that was good. That was good. That may be what it is for you at the moment. For you, maybe you need to run. I'm going to tell you something. When you step out in faith and do something to responding in the presence of God, there is a breakthrough. And I've had some people tell me, well, Pastor, I don't want to be out of line. You probably will. And I'm okay with that. And if there needs to be correction, I will totally let you know. Trust me. Not at the moment. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. But, you know, there is a... And the more you get into it, and the more you function in it, the more you will understand. To a lot of people, it looks like chaos. It looks like complete chaos. Someone up here dancing. Somewhere up here moving. Someone shouting. Someone moving back and forth. Someone, you know, whatever it may be, it may look like chaos to you. And it may be, but it's organized chaos. Can I tell you something? I grew up in a church where I was always dumbfounded. Church was never boring. Church was never boring. We had the dead raised in our church. We had someone collapse and die in our church. And why are you laughing at that? That's terrible. But you know the end result. They rushed her to the front of the altar and they begin to lay hands on her and pray and command life into her body. And I remember, because I was always on the front row, but just as soon as they laid her down, and we're talking about a young girl, laid her on the altar, all the saints just rushed the stage at one time and began to pray. And for me, I had to see. So I stood up. And I mean, like, they're in my way. I need to see this. And I begin, because I didn't want a miracle to happen and me not be able to see it. The worst things I have ever done is close my eyes praying for the sick. Because they got healed and I missed it. I'm like, I will not miss it. I'll go to the scripture, watch and pray. I'm going to keep my eyes open because the power of God is here to perform what it said it would do. We will see legs grow out. We will see hands restored. We will see people walk in the manner that God had created them. And so as she laid on the altar, purple around her lips, and around her eyes, and white on her skin. Wow. We begin to command life. Now, the part I didn't know was that she collapsed in the upstairs or the balcony. And they had been working on her for 15 minutes and couldn't get a pulse. Oh my God. And the ambulance has been called. And she was just gone. And when she was laying on that altar, all of a sudden, there was a breath of, and Pastor had his mic on. And so when he was down there, all of a sudden you heard, and I watched her take a breath and begin to sit up.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But can I tell you something that was interesting? The whole church, I was on the front. I never knew that they were working on the back. Half the church did not even know it. You want to know why? Because they were responding to the presence of the Lord.
Wow.
They were praising, they had been worshiping, and people were shouting. It was so common that we just thought people were praising the Lord. We just thought people were praising God. We had no idea that there were chaos in the back. And can I tell you something? When our church was meeting at a theater, we had someone go right down in the middle. And I had people doing this in the back. And we're praising the Lord. I didn't even know anything happened. And I just nodded. I see you. I'm going to continue what I'm doing. I see you. And they go back to what they're doing. But I can tell that something was wrong. You know, my lightning fast brain. I figure it out quickly. And we begin to praise the Lord. And the church is responding. And so as praise and worship continues, I figure out, I probably should go check out what's going on. So the church continues praising the Lord. Most of the church have no idea what's going on. I walk in the back, find out someone just completely dropped. All of a sudden, they were praising God, and they fell, and it was not in the spirit. So I said, have we called 911? And they said, yes. I'm like, good, we need an ambulance here. And so we laid hands on them, commanded life to come back into their body, that they would function as the way God has created them to function. Their body would line up with God's word. On the way to the hospital, in the ambulance, they come back. And with, I don't know how much time, it wasn't long. The hospital had to run all their checks and they said, we can't find anything wrong. You're good to go. And they left. And their testimony was, Pastor, I have no idea what was happening, but I was out. I was gone. And the Lord touched them. But can I tell you something? We create an atmosphere. I tell my mother all the time, that she is an atmosphere changer. She is an atmosphere changer. Why? Because she responds to the presence of God. Can I tell you something? I had a day not too long ago, and Miss Holly even can testify to this. She said, I'm trying to remember your exact statement, but she said, are you okay? Or something along that line. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just having a day. Whatever. You know, I have these days. They're fine. They're short and, you know, they're far apart. They're not a lot, but I am having a day. I'm just having a day. And it was on a Wednesday. And then praise and worship, we came to Wednesday night service, and I went the whole day having a day. I went the whole day having a day. And then praise and worship came Wednesday night, and it broke off of me. And then I was so irritated with myself. I mean, I know this. I know how to cast my cares upon the Lord. I know how to get this off me. Why did it take so long? Why did it take me so long to realize that I needed to worship the Lord to get this mess off me? Thank you for your enthusiasm. The Bible says, Everything that has a name responds to the name of Jesus. So of course, when we lift up His name, of course, when we praise God, of course, when we worship the King of Kings, the Lord Most High, of course it breaks this stuff off of us because it has a name. It hears the name of Jesus and it bows its knees to the name. Depression will have to leave you. Sickness will have to leave you. And when we come together, one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. It may be legions. It may be legions that have run through your family from generation to generation. But when you begin to praise the Lord, when you begin to respond, you're not caring about what your neighbor thinks. You're not caring about the situation you were in. You're denying the condemnation that the world is trying to bring upon you. And when you lift up the name of Jesus, everything you're dealing with, every mountain that has been in your way, they bow to what you're doing. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, let's just praise the Lord for a moment. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. As we begin to praise Him, like a time's past, the Lord will make a way where there seemed to be no way. Just because you can't see the way doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for the situation. And so begin to praise the Lord. Begin to lift up your voices in your darkest hour at midnight. Begin to raise up your voices. Praise the Lord in advance. Some of you will have to break out into a little bit of a dance. Some of you need to do something you ain't never done before. Because you're looking for an answer that you have never seen. You're looking for a breaking off of those things that have held on to you. You're looking for freedom. You're looking for the Lord to make a way in the wilderness. You're looking for the mountains to move. So you are going to have to begin to speak. You are going to have to begin to praise. You're the one that is going to have to lift up the name of Jesus and prophesy to your own life. Prophesy to your own situation. Prophesy to your own problems. Begin to speak the word of the Lord. And everything out there will begin to bow because of the Lord you serve. Because you begin to manifest the presence of God. Because you are the instrument. It is the word of God coming through your voice, coming through your vocal cords. So begin to speak. Begin to praise. Begin to worship. And watch all these things fall off of you. So this morning, right now, right where you are, we're going to begin to praise the Lord. Ha-re-ve-ke-shitara. Rovakanam. Mashite, 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 rovashita, la la masa, tereuma, hasi, roshoto, rebeco, son de la lamande, rabakasite, rabakasite, oshe, 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 falling off of you right now, falling off of you right now. I do hear. Oh, the manifested glory of the Lord. Hishatarama. Akasite eshite aroma. Oso aka rebe. Ha 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 ha. Oh, bakoshoto lololo boko sotere rama kasidre. Roboko shitaralalamasataralamahase. Father, we speak. We're going to begin to confess. So what you're needing right now, just begin to confess the word. Begin to confess the name of Jesus. Sometimes you don't even know what you need to confess, so you just begin to lift up the name. Just say, Jesus, worship Him. Praise God for all the good that He has done. And as you begin to lift up the name of Jesus, God inhabits your praises. And everything will begin to bow. Everything will begin to move. These altars are open. This is what's about to happen. I just want you to know in advance. We're about to tap into a vein of prophecy. We're about to tap into a vein of the moving of the Spirit of God. Oh, we've been on the outskirts of it, but we're about to jump in. Yeah. Begin to praise the Lord, begin to lift up your voices. Oh, come.